Minute 9 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Tom.
And I'm Rob.
And joining us again today from my basement.
Hello, I'm still Tom. It's starting to smell down here, and I found a skull. I'm not sure if it's human. It's got like too many eye sockets. I'm concerned.
That was our guest last week.
Oh. Oh dear. This does not bode well for me.
Just hope you do better than they did.
Pressure.
So anyone not paying attention, that's Jay from the Deep Blue Sea podcast. Or that's Jay who was on the Deep Blue Sea podcast.
Formerly from.
Before being trapped in Tom's basement for the last 4 days.
So minute 9 starts with Ramsey being sassy, and it ends with Von Luger rattling off prisoners and their number of escape attempts. And so the thing that stood out to me in it was just the level of how similar these two are in a lot of respects. You get, I feel like if roles were reversed, Von Luger would be very similar to Ramsey. I don't know what you guys think there.
No, I don't think Von Luger is a very cynical character. He's a by-the-book, straight-laced character. So the jokes that Ramsey makes, or the snide comments that he makes, I actually can't see Von Luger saying. You know, the fact that Ramsey starts off this minute by saying, "Nice to know you're wanted." You know, that's great. I can't imagine Von Luger saying something like that.
Yeah, I kind of agree, but I think they're both in different situations. I feel like Ramsey, he's been caught. You know, he can't really go anywhere from there. It's not going to get much worse for him. They're just going to, he's senior ranking officer, so they're not just going to shoot him offhand. Whereas Von Luger,
especially since he can't escape.
Exactly. And Von Luger, he has something to prove. He's in charge of these people. If these people do something wrong, then it's up to him. Whereas Ramsey's men are supposed to be doing things wrong at this point. They aim to misbehave at this, whereas Von Luger, he's got to keep people in line. He's got more pressure on him. So if the situation's reversed, then Ramsey would be the one under the pressure, and he would be acting differently. I don't think he'd be as snarky, as kind of cheeky. So it's hard to say how they would behave in each other's shoes.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. To me, what made me think about it was when Ramsey asked, "Do you expect us to forget our duty?" And you just see Von Luger go, "Well, his face reflects the, well, you kind of got me there. No, I don't expect you to forget it." That's where I got from.
Right. Okay. The whole time when Ramsey's discussing things, I keep waiting for him to say madness. For anyone who didn't get that reference, that's from The Bridge on the River Kwai, where that's pretty much all he says. Madness.
Yeah, I guess the last lines of the film, yeah.
That's true. Well, because he's the only one still alive. Oops, spoiler alert.
I feel like fans of The Great Escape would also be fans of Bridge on the River Kwai, so hopefully they would have seen it.
Let's hope. And if not, go watch it.
Although, yeah, it was some years between my first viewing of Great Escape before I watched The Bridge on the River Kwai, so there is a chance. But hey, if you're listening to this, you like The Great Escape, watch Bridge on the River Kwai.
Even if you don't love, The Great Escape, I don't know why you're listening to this. But
what do you mean? Because you want to start, you want to love The Great Escape. I mean, as I can attest by listening to the Deep Blue Sea podcast, I enjoyed it much more after listening to it. So it's a way of helping someone who likes a movie enjoy it even more.
That's true. And you know, some of the I've listened to Movies by Minutes podcasts on some of my favorite films, and I haven't enjoyed the shows as much as I have on some of my lesser films that I like. So who knows?
Question is, what do you think about the movie afterwards? If it changed your impression,
it did not. I do tend to appreciate films more after I've listened to the Movies by Minutes podcast on them. I know more of it. Like, The Great Escape is easily one of my favorite films of all time. It's been in my top five films for decades, but I've never done any research on it. I've never looked into like how it was made, what it's based on, the true story of it. I just sit. It's a film I just sit down and enjoy, and I watch it. And at the end of it, I think that was great. I've never reviewed it. By the time this comes out, I hopefully will have done to cross off the 1001 list. But I've never reviewed it because I don't want to think like, why do I like this film? Why is it so great? I just like liking it. It's like a a nice warm hug of a film where in the final act 75% of the cast get executed. Other than that, it's like a really pleasant film.
Yeah, it's not your typical war film. It's got a very light tone to it most of the time. Yeah.
Despite being this isn't horribly depressing towards the end.
That's very true. But let's hope that after Jay listens to all 72 episodes of this, you know, you'll reach the point where you appreciate the movie even more and understand why you appreciate it.
I'll be listening to 167 episodes because I will not listen to my will not happen. I will be skipping this week. Just so.
So we're just gonna, you know, bleep you the whole time. So
I will never know. I will never know.
I'm gonna have lots of fun editing then.
I wonder what I'll sound like. I'll be pitching my voice all over the place.
Oh, I'm more thinking to cut up your sentences, you know. Make you say all sorts of terrible things about everybody and get you cancelled, right?
I could now say, now you've said that, I could now say whatever I like and it would just assume that it's been edited to keep saying that. So we can both play this game, Tom.
So in this minute, we also start to get the list of how many escapes different prisoners have tried. And so in listening to it, I only caught two people who were in double digits. Ives with 11, and I don't know if that 11 includes him jumping off the truck on the way there or not.
He said 11 including.
He said 11.
And then
even tried to jump out of the truck.
Right. He says including trying to jump out of the truck on the way in.
I don't think he does think. No, he said he even tried. Yeah, I don't think he says including. Either way, whether it's 11 or 12, including that. I would include that as an official escape attempt. Because that would imply...
that he got away.
He's now done another one. He's tried to escape again in another truck. Does that mean he's up to 13 at this point? Or...
Well,
you could say.
And then Willie, I guess I don't know. They said Willie has been in a...
No, he's dug 11 tunnels.
Right. That's what he says. I don't know if those count as escape attempts if they catch the tunnel midway through. But
yeah, he's participated in the digging of them. They may have all been for him to escape through. He may have been a team player. Yeah. Right.
Well, he is a tunnel king. So, it means he knows how to dig at least, at what point does one become a tunnel king? You have to do 5 tunnels, 10 tunnels, 11, maybe. Yeah. And this is, again, Van Luger only knows of 11. For all we know, he's actually a part of digging 70 tunnels. He's known as the king.
Many rat tails do you have to tie together before you get a rat king? These are questions we'll never know the answer to.
That's right.
It's whenever Bronson says you're a tunnel king is when you get to be a tunnel king.
He is the one who decides. Yeah.
I think later Danny writes was 17.
Yep.
So I don't remember if that's Tom, Dick, or Harry. So it's possible that he has a total of 19 by the end of this movie.
That's true. Yeah.
You never know. I like this whole conversation because again they start off by giving us more exposition as to the way that both sides see this prison camp and the way that it works. You have Van Luger saying there will be no escapes from this camp. And then Ramsey responds by saying, well, it's the sworn duty of officers to escape unless they can't. Which,
and even then, they'll try.
But the funny thing is he's telling Van Luger their plan. He's basically saying, we're going to do whatever we can to make things as difficult for you as possible. You know, don't think we're just going to sit out the war like you want us to. We're going to harass you. We're going to make you use more troops to guard us. We're going to do whatever we can to make this really difficult for you.
Watching us was the worst mistake you ever made.
More or less. Or putting us all together, actually, is the worst mistake. You think logically...
In hindsight, it's a ridiculous decision.
Completely.
But he's not telling Von Luger anything he doesn't know. I wasn't able to find for the British military, but I mean, in the United States military, it's codified into policy that if you're captured, you will do anything in your power to escape and help others escape. So it's not like it's, these guys are just like, yeah, we're bored, let's try to escape. They're doing what they're sworn to do as British officers, and it seems like Von Luger knows it, but he's also just, they're doing a dance. Von Luger has to tell him these things. And then, you know, Ramsey's playing his part in it.
Yeah, it's not like they go, they try to escape and the Nazi's going to go, oh, it's not fair, you're not playing fair. We caught you. Stay in your bunks.
Right, that's true. No, I love the way that Von Luger, before he starts listing off the names of everyone who's tried to escape, he goes, men under your authority have been most successful. Well, if they were successful, they wouldn't be here anymore. So apparently they're successful. They're successful in messing up the works.
Well, because they've been most successful in terms of trying to escape and diverting troops to, to deal with them whilst they're trying to escape. So that's been the success. Like all these escape attempts, they escape and get recaught. That's manpower. it's annoying.
Right. No, I mean, I think when he's discussing about Ashley Pitt, he goes, he was caught at Dunkirk, escaped, recaptured, escaped, recaptured.
Is that all at Dunkirk, do you think? All in the North Sea? Was that all in like one day?
I'm always looking for Tom Hardy to show up here. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, he does. Actually, one of Tom Hardy's colleagues in Dunkirk does look a bit like a Pitt. Now I think about it.
The redheaded guy?
It's been a while. I could just be picturing Ashley Pitt in the plane now. That's all. I'm just doing it wrong.
I mean, if you're going to talk Dunkirk, I guess we haven't seen him yet. But since we're on the topic of Dunkirk, I mean, Attenborough was in the 50s Dunkirk movie.
Yeah, that wasn't that great.
But his grandson was then in the new one.
Correct.
Yeah.
He does.
Will Attenborough, which is Richard Attenborough's grandson, was in the 2017 one.
Who did he play? Who is he?
I don't know. I wasn't researching him.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find out now.
He played second lieutenant. That's his name.
Oh, I remember him well.
He probably was standing next to Kenneth Branagh.
Yes, a couple places behind him. trying to stand on the raining sea that Branagh wasn't eating.
No, I also find it interesting, he's mentioning the number of attempts by all these different characters, and he mentioned that Danny only was escaped four times. And my favorite, he goes, Danny Valensky four times, Haynes four times, Sedgwick seven, McDonald nine, who he's almost the Tunnel King if he's just one more and he's the Tunnel King. You know, and then I love how he goes, and Henley, an American.
The American.
The American. Five. You know, he's five times tried. So it's like
Sedgwick the Australian or McDonald the Scot. He only signals out Henley as the American. Get that word out of my mouth.
But you know,
and he calls Ives Archie. Archibald Archie Ives.
Archie Ives
is called Archie by no one in this film. He is called Ives by everyone.
Except for Von Luger.
Archie knows what's wrong.
No, because that's what it says in his dossier.
Yeah, the dossier is incorrect.
He gave Archie to some intake clerk at his some POW camp just to screw with him and see how long he would hang around.
Maybe. Still going.
The character that Ives is based on, not the character, the person that Ives is based on hasn't even...
He could be a real character.
Yeah. He could be. His name was Piglet. And he was actually a New Zealander. He was, in the book, they mentioned it. I keep saying characters. There are people. There's POWs from New Zealand and Rhodesia. I mean, it's unbelievable the different places that here we just assume that everyone except for Cedric Haynes and the Americans are from England, United Kingdom, because that includes Scotland and Ireland, right? More or less in 1943.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Didn't mean to offend at all. Sorry, I'm not if I offended you.
you might offend people in the other countries.
Possibly. You never know. Yeah, so no, it's just funny that he goes, and Henley the American. But I think that's more for the audience. It's basically saying, okay, we've now been talking about all these British, you know, this is an American movie. So, you know, they're saying, don't worry, there are Americans here. It's not all just Brits.
Yes, and 100% of them survive the film. Aggravating.
Correct. 100% of them survive the film, but that's because, you know, of their 4th of July party. What it comes down to basically is that the irony of it all is that in the real escape, there were no American. They were all transferred out beforehand.
Wasn't there one, but even he was technically British, I think? It was one American.
Possibly. I could be wrong.
Was there person in the American military, but he was technically British, I think, was it somewhere.
Could be. No, because Henley is in the RAF, but both Gough and Hiltz.
Hiltz.
Sorry, Hiltz. Yeah. It's interesting that you know, they don't even try and explain why in a prison camp of 250 or 250 plus POWs you have two Americans.
there's Gough or whatever.
Second Lieutenant Gough, Judd Taylor.
Yes. The next guy in line doesn't get to escape.
That's right. Wait for me.
Cavendish.
I can tell you why they're all in the same camp, for the power of plot convenience.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Obviously.
The power of trying to make the film marketable in America.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. But what's interesting is the actor who plays Gough, Judd Taylor, he actually directed the sequel to this movie. Which isn't really a sequel, it's just basically a reimagining of the story. The Great Escape 2, The Untold Story, which was a fictionalized made-for-TV movie about it. But, you know, with Wish Reeve.
Is it any good? I have never.
I saw it years ago, so I don't really remember. I'm gonna rewatch it one of these days. I know that in that one they used the real names of the POWs. Because here, as everyone already knows, these names are all made up. They're none of the real. I mean, they even took the real name of Roger Bushell and changed it to Roger Bartlett.
Yeah, they're all kind of close, aren't they? They're close to the real names, but not.
Some of them are close. Some of them are close. Some of them are really far away.
Ramsey is Massey, so they got the last. They got four out of the six letters in the right place.
So we're cleaners. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, as in, it's not like. Every long double-barreled surname. It's similar in length. Yeah, it's close. That's how I have a weird brain in terms of letters and numbers and things. So.
Right. I mean, in the real, I mean, like, for Hicks, Hiltz. Well, I don't know why do I keep saying Hicks? I don't know why.
He doesn't Hiltz. Even have a southern accent or anything. Come on now.
Yeah, that's true. So Hiltz is actually based on John Dodge, who is known as the Artful Dodger, who is very prominently mentioned in the book. Davy Tokyo Jones. And Flight Lieutenant William Ash. Yeah, I don't know, none of those come close to Hiltz. So, but again, he's completely fictionalized. That way,
that's true. As are most actors.
Yes. What is really interesting about Ramsey, and I mean, we don't see it that well in this minute, but apparently his medals, the way that he carried medals, he has them in the wrong order. You know, someone actually found this and said that he has the colorful victory medals that are red, white, and blue from 1914, 1915, mm-hmm. and they go right to left instead of left to right or something to that effect. You'd think that they would have tried to get that type of detail right here, but apparently not.
So speaking of medals, because I have more about Ramsey's when he's not wearing a scarf covering them, but Von Luger, I don't know if either of you guys kind of looked into what he's wearing.
I did not.
I'm not really an expert on German military fashion.
Neither am I, but Googling. So, because I found it interesting what he's wearing compared to what the actual Commandant wore. So it looks like the only thing based off of Google searches match are Iron Crosses. So they both got Iron Cross first and second class. But then Von Luger's were Wehrmacht Long Service Award, which I assume just means you've been in the military 10 to 20 plus years. and he's got a wound badge, which looks like it was the German equivalent of a Purple Heart. The one I found most interesting, though, is you can see him, he has that blue cross around his neck. That apparently, and I am going to butcher this pronunciation because it's a hybrid of German and French, but it's the Purlimorat. Basically, it's an old Prussian decoration that was last given in, the last presentation was 1918, which at least gives us an indication of how long this guy's been in the military. And yeah, I don't know how many people at the time this was released would have recognized any of the medals. But I do find it interesting they included something that made it evident that he had been in the service for 20 plus years.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, to be a commandant of a camp like this, you need to have a lot of military experience. They're not going to give it to someone who just showed up.
Yes.
Right. You know, you just joined a few years ago. You're a friend of Hitler's, so we'll give you the job. But, I mean, later on, we'll see the fact that the arguments between the Luftwaffe and the Gestapo the whole way through. You know, it's not so simple. They try to make him a little more sympathetic than he probably was.
Right.
Yeah. I've always thought the cross that he wears around the neck, that's always looked like it'd be really uncomfortable to just wear on a daily basis, just because it's you know, it's a necklace, but it's a really short chain, so it's just hanging right on the knot of the tie. I just feel like that would just be constantly, like, clanging up and down. I just never liked them.
I mean,
I'm grateful I never had to wear one.
I feel like that's something along the same lines as, like, a Medal of Honor, where you only pull out the formal, you know, neck piece for it on very special occasions.
That makes sense.
Like, okay,
dress medals.
Right. Yeah. I've got a shape up and, you know, impress this guy. Let me put this stuff on.
Yeah, this is day one of his job, so he's wearing a nice suit for it.
Right.
Well, he's flippant. It is immaculate. There's no question about that.
Absolutely, yeah. he's flippant with these files as well. He's just tossing them over the place. One falls on the floor. You know, he's gonna have to study this up later. What's he doing?
I don't know. Well, yes, but he's got Rosa to come pick him up.
Maybe.
The script, it's very interesting. They discuss talking about Ashley Pitt. So in the original script, it's a little different. The character's name is Maryvale. But Von Luger says, Maryvale, for example, caught at Dunkirk, escaped, recaptured. He even tried to jump out of the train coming here. 17 attempted escapes. This is close to insanity. So basically, in the original script, they put all of it together into one character. And then Von Luger says he was even in the First World War, and he's not even an Air Force officer. So then Ramsey says he's a major in the British Expeditionary Force, as you said, captured at Dunkirk. And then they go into conversation about do you expect officers to forget their duty and things like that. So that's interesting that they actually explain how someone like Dunkirk would actually be here. Even though, as we mentioned earlier, the whole fact is that, you know, as we know from Tom Hardy, you could be at Dunkirk and still end up in a German prison camp.
Rob, do you have anything else for minute nine?
Nope, I'm good.
Jay?
No, we covered it all. Yeah.
All right, well, Jay, you want to tell people where they can find you online or in person once I let you out of my basement?
Yes, thank you. Please do. Yesterday I plugged the Lamb, and there is a podcast such as the Lamb, just called the Lamb Cast, which I used to host. I hosted it for 7 years, and I've no longer host it, but I still do a monthly movie trivia, game called Lampity. It's based on Jeopardy. Same rules, but just movie questions. And every week I have three new contestants go on and do their movie trivia. So you should listen to the Lambcast. It's a great show. It covers all different kinds of movie appreciation, new releases, old releases, drafts, franchises, directors, everything. And Richard is doing a fantastic job hosting that one. But every month, listen to Lampardy. And also every month, Rob does a little show on it as well for his acting skill. I've been on that to talk about the best films of Steve McQueen. Guess what came up? you'll never guess.
What was number one for both of us? I can't remember.
Well, number one for you was The Great Escape. It was not number one for me. It was on my list. But
I got to tell you, I don't remember. Three years ago?
It was some time ago, yes. But I can't remember.
I think it was 2 years ago.
I can't remember what my number one was, but The Great Escape was definitely in there, because if it wasn't, it should have been.
I'm assuming it was.
It probably was. Yeah, it's certainly my favorite of his films.
So I host the Acting School 101 podcast every month. So, yeah, you get to hear me once a month.
For those of you who don't hear enough here.
Well, they've only started hearing me here, so, you know.
Yeah, eventually you'll get to a Saturday or a Sunday where you think, oh, I want to listen to Rob. And then you can go back years worth of these monthly podcasts.
Well, I got to say that someone who's going to be on the show in a few weeks, when I contacted him, he said, what podcasts do you do? And I told him the Acting School 101, and he said he listened to a few of them. So, see, we got someone new to listen to a LAMP podcast for this show.
There we go. And all of your listeners will now be seeking it out to go and listen to at least two shows a month for me and for you.
There. We've done our job.
That's what this is all about, cross promotion.
And while you're on your podcatcher, go ahead and subscribe to our show and give us a 5-star review. Even if you hate us, give us 5 stars. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thegreatminute@gmail.com and join our Facebook group, The Cooler. You can find our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter @GreatEscapeMXM. And hope you guys will finish up the week for us tomorrow. Jay, if you're good tomorrow, I'll give you the keys and you can get out.
There's so many bones down here, Tom. It's not just one person. How many guests have you had?
It's a secret. We can't tell you. Because we're not doing this in order.
I'm gonna try and pile them up and escape. There's a high window down here. There's a pile of skull.
There's an extra door that Von Luger uses to not go out and smoke.
It's like the Terminator future down here. There's so many everywhere.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.